You know, we live in a world where it's easy to chase other things. It's easy to, in good common sense, it's good to work hard and somewhat chase the dollar, if you will, so we can provide for our families. Nothing wrong with provision. We should. The Bible instructs us to do that. It's good that we can do things with our families. It's great we do that. We should spend time with our families, but it's so easy in today's hustle and bustle and the lifestyle so fast, and you're so busy. Many of you, if I ask, what are you going to do this afternoon? You've already got your afternoon or your evening filled all the way to the time you lay down tonight. And many I could ask tomorrow and the next day, and you've got it broken down pretty much every hour. You're going to be busy doing something. And nothing wrong with that either. Me and Dexter, we were talking about yesterday at work. He asked me, he said, do you ever get tired of being so busy? I said, no, I'm a planner though. I like to plan. So I can accomplish more. It's not so I can have something to do. It's because I can get more done. And so, there's nothing wrong with those things, but I want to talk to us today on a topic. And I believe the Lord, if I've ever believed the Lord's laid a message on my heart, I believe it's this one. I would title today's message, Flirting with the Devil is Being Unfaithful to God. Flirting with the Devil is Being Unfaithful to God. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, me and my wife, you know, I knew she was going to want to marry me when she laid her eyes on me. I just knew that right off the bat. She didn't know it, but I knew it. And I never really was one of those jealous types. I'm still not. Never. That's really never bitten me, but I understand jealousy to some degree. Because now when we started dating, my wife and I mean, she was mine. Come on. I didn't want other people trying to date her while I'm dating her. I was a little jealous, but I also had the mentality, well, if you don't want to be with me, just go. Amen. Still kind of got that today. Not with her, because she goes, I'm going. You know, you heard the story about the preacher the fella, he'd come home and his wife's packing everything in the suitcase. She's throwing it in there. And he said, honey, what are you doing? She said, I'm tired of you. For 30 years I put up with your stuff. And I am so sick and tired of your mouth. I'm tired of your rhetoric. I am leaving. She goes in the next bedroom, comes back out, and he's throwing stuff in the suitcase. She says, what are you doing? He says, I'm just going to go with you. So that's the kind of way I feel about my wife. She leaves, I'm going with her, okay? And so, that had nothing to do with the message whatsoever. I'm just clarifying that where my wife goes, I go. But flirting, how many, you know, some people, you know, I know some people that are super jealous. I mean, like, over the top jealous. I'm like, man, super, super jealous. I've just never been that way. Thank God, because it's a control on people. I mean, some people are just obsessed with jealousy. And you look at that, and the Bible says in Nahum, that old book way over there, that God is a jealous God. And the Bible teaches more than just one passage scripture, that God is a jealous God. He is jealous for you. And so that's my title, Flirting with the Devil is Being Unfaithful to God. Now, if my wife today started flirting with a bunch of people, I'd be raising an eyebrow, and I'm not really that jealous. What's going on here? Come on, anybody in their right mind, if you're a man, you'd be like, what? And you women, I mean, I know y'all off the chain. I mean, y'all off the charts when it comes to jealousy. I mean, what's, she touched you on the shoulder. Y'all know my wife ain't jealous either, right? Because I'm a hugger. You know, let me and Pam, we're huggers. I'm going to hug everybody. I'm just a hugger. But some people just get so jealous. And I think God's jealous for us. Not in the sense of an overbearing jealousy, but he's jealous for us because he wants us to be devoted to him. That's really a good kind of jealousy, is when we're devoted to the one that's jealous of us, but in a good sense. So I took my passage of scripture this morning from Judges chapter 13, 14, 15, and 16. And yes, all three or four chapters. We're going to be here a while. Amen. I got one amen. No, I just hit some highlights today and some of these others. But how many of you know and have ever heard about Samson? Samson, one of the Old Testament characters. I want to give you a background about a little bit about what's going on. So when Samson comes on the scene, the judges have arrived in the Old Testament. As you well know, they wanted a king. They wanted, Israel wanted a king. God said, you don't want this. Anyway, so judges came on there. You read the book of Judges. That's what this is about. So in Judges, Samson comes on the scene. And now it's like, well, let me just say this. Let me read this first. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Samson's birth has been prophesied before he was born to his mother in Judges chapter 13, and I'll skip down to verse 5, and it says, "For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb." I'm going to explain Nazarite in a minute. "And he shall begin," that's the key word, "he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines." Now, a Nazarite was someone who was consecrated to God, solely to God. In other words, he instructs here, put no razor to his head. He's going to be a Nazarite to God. He's going to be consecrated for my work. I have a specific plan for him to do while he lives. I want you to know that God has a specific plan for you while you live. Amen. Here we understand that the Holy Spirit is not, if you will, not widespread or not blanketed like it is in the New Testament, okay? But here the Holy Spirit would come upon him. We're going to learn some things from time to time. But in Scripture, God had, in this passage of Scripture, he had a specific plan for Samson. Well, what was the plan? We find it in verse 5. It says, "And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of Philistines." Do y'all remember when David came on the scene and he starts talking to Goliath? Okay, so Samson was a little fellow with a slingshot. Y'all follow me? Yes. Amen. Okay, somebody's like, is that in the Bible? Yeah, it's in the Bible. We think Samson shows up and beats up and kills a giant, right? Here's the deal. The beginning of that battle started with Samson. 50-plus years prior to David coming on the scene. As a matter of fact, when this thing began, when God had set forth this plan for Samson, David hadn't even been born yet. I'm telling you, God's got a plan for your life. And sometimes, guess what? That plan will supersede your life. We're going to learn that it supersedes Samson's life, God's plan. But here's important. If you flirt with the world, you're unfaithful to God. And I'm going to show you in Scripture, when you become unfaithful to God, God doesn't leave you. He just steps back and lets you do what you want to do till you come full circle again. It happens. I'm going to prove it to you scripturally. The Philistines ruled over Israel for 50-plus years. 50-plus years. And God said, I want to deliver my children. I have a plan for them. I want to deliver them. So Samson was prophesied, and he was conceived, but he had one thing that he couldn't do. Just one thing. He couldn't cut his hair. There was a country song several years ago by Reuben McEntire that said, "Why do I always want what we know we can't have?" Some of you religious folks would say, "Oh, yeah, I remember that." You were thinking you didn't listen to country music. I ain't always been saved. Come on, somebody. The one thing that he said, guard with everything you got, mama, daddy, instilling him that he cannot have his hair cut. No razor should come to his head. That was the sign of being a Nazarite to God, consecrated to God. The moment that he became unconsecrated, things began to change in his life. I believe that it altered the plan of God. It didn't alter it. It slowed it down. Come on, somebody, because we see that they are liberated today, Israel, I mean. In Judges 13:24, I'm skipping over, so you go back and read the story. It's a very interesting story. Judges 13:24 says, "So the woman bore a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him," right up in the middle of God's will. He was prophesied, now he's being born. Verse 25, "And the Spirit of the Lord began to move upon him at Manaah Dan, between Zorah and Eshtol." So God's hand is on Samson. He's blessing him. Right out of the womb, he's blessing him. God's got a plan. Do you know God has a plan for your life? Don't mess it up. Come on, somebody. His plan's perfect. The only way God's plan could be messed up between God and humanity is the human part. God's perfect. God doesn't make mistakes. God's got a straight path. The only mess up in your life is you. It's not God. Think about it. In Judges chapter 14, skip the next chapter. And here we see Samson in the middle of God's will from birth, right in the middle of his will. God's plan is coming to happen right in front of his eyes. In Judges 14:6, it says, "And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he tore the lion apart as he would have torn apart a young goat. Though he had nothing in his hands, but he did not tell his father and his mother what he had done." If you look deep into the story, his mother and father, Samson had went down to an area where the Philistines were, and he saw a pretty woman. Men, pay attention. Women can make you do things you didn't want to do that you normally wouldn't have done. I'm not beating up women. I'm just women. You have the power over men a lot of times. Use it wisely. Because we will follow you. Amen. That'd be a good Mother's Day message, wouldn't it? Or Father's Day, for that matter, message. He starts at this moment when he's still in the presence of God. The Spirit of the Lord's upon him. But in this moment, see, he killed this lion, but he's on a trip with his mother and father to go get a bride that he really never should have had. She was of the Philistines, the one that controlled Israel. And God says he's beginning to deliver Israel from the hand of the Philistines. And the judge, which judged for 20 years, is fixing to get married to this woman that's in her whole country is over them. That's just jacked up. That's not good common sense, as my daddy would say. Boy, you flirting with it right there. He began to flirt with it while God is still using him. God's mercy and grace is just, it goes on and on. I'm going to share that with you in a moment. But he has so much of God on him that he kills this lion with his bare hands. Anybody ever done that before? Now, Rusty's a man's man. Rusty, up, yeah, Rusty. Now, Rusty, see, Rusty's not all there sometimes. Rusty will jump out of a tree with a knife and get on a wild boar hog. Hey, come on, somebody. And his wife prays for him about that part of the brain not kicking in. And I pray for when this hog hunting season, I'm praying for Rusty. Lord, let him come out with every limb he's got that he took to the woods. Come on. He's a bad man. But can you imagine taking a lion without a knife or a gun? And tearing it apart. Samson, what I'm telling you, Samson's a bad man. But it's only because the Spirit of the Lord is upon him. Come on. I'm going somewhere. Stay with me. Judges chapter 14, verse 19. Watch it. Watch this pattern. So he's born, and the Spirit of the Lord began to move upon him, right? Number two, he runs into a lion. Spirit of the Lord is mighty, says he comes mightily upon him. Third time, Judges 14:19. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily. This is the second time the Spirit of the Lord has come upon him mightily. And he went down to Ascalon and killed 30 of their men, took their apparel and gave the changes of clothing to those who had explained the riddle. So his anger was aroused and he went back to his father's house. You need to go read all and fill in the blanks. But he had posed a riddle about killing the lion. And if the people of the Philistines, if they had solved the riddle, he was going to give them 30 changes of garments and 30 final changes of linen clothes. And so he made a deal. And so his wife, I love the wording in the New King James. His wife pressed him to tell the riddle. Samson responds this way. You got to go read it. It's in the Bible. He's mad because they figured out the riddle. He knew they couldn't. But they pressed, his wife pressed him and they pressed her. I guess that means men, be careful what you tell your wives. And she told the Philistines, and this was Samson's response. Well, if you hadn't pressed my heifer, she wouldn't have told you. There's a few men kind of smile and laugh a little bit. The rest of you is like, why did that happen? Watch. It's part of the story. It's funny, but it's part of the story. Why did it happen? He's flirting with the devil. He's not even supposed to be married to this woman. She was a Philistine. What did you think was going to happen, Samson? She began to press him, so she's trying to get over on him right off the bat. They hadn't been married yet. They were fixing to get married. So when you flirt with the devil, you're unfaithful to God. Because when you begin to flirt and get outside of what God has for you, guess what? Again, he doesn't pull back from you. He stands still and lets you move from him. He'll let you do what you want to do. Amen. That was an amen moment. Amen. In Judges chapter 15, verse 14. And when he came to Leah, the Philistines came shouting against him. Then the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the ropes that were on his arms became like flax that is burned with fire, and his bonds broke loose from his hands, and he found a fresh jawbone of a donkey, reached out his hand and took it, and killed 1,000 men with it. He's a bad dude. Watch this. You're a bad dude when the Holy Ghost is on you. Yeah. The story behind that is that he had tied the foxes' tails together. You remember the story? And put the torch between them. 300 foxes. I don't want to catch one of them. He caught 300, tied their tails together. Put a torch between it, lit it on fire, and sent them through the wheat fields, burn up all their crops. The Philistines threaten, they're going to come annihilate Israel. And Israel corners Samson and says, man, you have done a bad thing. They're fixing to kill all of us because of your stupidity. Hey, watch. The stupid idea, the stupid thing from Samson started because he was flirting with the devil. He married someone. That's where this all started. He was trying to marry someone that he should have never been married to. That's how this thing started. So the children of Israel corner him in a mountain and say, look, we're going to turn you over. We're fixing to arrest you. He says, as long as you don't kill me. He said, we won't kill you, but we're going to tie your hands up. And they did. And 3,000 Philistines, they sent 3,000 Philistines for one man. I got a question for you. Are you so doing God's will that the enemy will send 3,000 demons to keep you from doing what you're supposed to do? Or does it even matter? Are you just going through the motions and the devil says, don't worry about them, they're not doing anything anyway? 3,000 Philistines, and that's where this story's picked up. When he comes to get him, when they come to get him, he breaks these new ropes, if you will, like nothing. Samson in chapter 16 really goes public with his unfaithfulness to God. with his flirting with the devil. He makes it public now. In Judges chapter 16, verse 1, the Bible says this. Now Samson went to Gaza and saw a harlot there and went in to her. Pretty easy to figure out, right? Do I need to expand there? He's just about as far from God as you can get right now. He's in a place that he's not supposed to be. And he's with somebody he's not supposed to be with. Hear me out. God's plan never changed for Israel. God's plan never changed for Samson. It's still the same. You read the Bible, you'll see they're free today. It never changed. We get to be a part of God's great big plan if we stay in love with God, if we do not flirt with the devil. Because flirting with the devil is unfaithfulness to God. Now in Judges chapter 16, I'm going to read several verses here, the rest of the chapter here. In Judges 16 in verse 7, and Samson said to her, if they bind me with 7 fresh bowstrings, not yet dried, then I shall become weak like any other man. So the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 fresh bowstrings, not yet dried, and she bound him with them. Now men were lying staying with her in the room, and she said to him, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. But he broke the bowstrings as a strand of yarn breaks when it is torched with fire. So the secret of his strength was what? Not known. He knew the secret. What was the secret? I told you all ago. What is it he had never done? Cut his hair. See how he's getting closer and closer to revealing God's anointing and God's power on him? She's asking, where does your strength come from? She knows that the Holy Spirit has come upon him and it makes him super strong. But where does it come from? You're just a human. How are you to navigate through life, all of the disappointments, and how are you to navigate all of the offenses that happen to us in the Christian life? It's by God's anointing being on you. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. But if you're not careful, you'll start taking it for granted. And you'll flirt with the devil and become unfaithful to God. And when you become unfaithful to God, again, he doesn't walk away from you. He steps back and says, now you can do it your way, and I'll be right here waiting when you come back. Amen. Remember there's an old saying about something about love? If you love something, let it loose and it'll come back. If it's true love, it'll come back. I don't know if that's really true or not, but I never didn't want to try that with my wife. I said, hey, I got you. I'm going to hang on to you, okay? Amen. Verse 10, then Delilah said to Samson, I didn't tell you this, but after the harlot, he found Delilah. Delilah just sounds sexy. Delilah. It sounds like that's got devil written all over it. Delilah. Hope your name's not Delilah. I'm not talking about you, but glory to God, Delilah. Whew. Then Delilah said to him, look, can you imagine how she said it? Look, you have mocked me and told me lies. Now please tell me what you may be bound with. She's probably batting her big old long eyelashes and got her lipstick on real pretty and her hair did up. Samson, you done lied to me, baby. Why'd you do that to me? I wouldn't lie to you. Tell me where your strength lies. Aren't we together? Shouldn't we know everything about us? That's what the devil does. He'll slip right up beside you and just coax you right in to falling in love with him more and more. He's not in love with you The Bible says the devil has three objectives: to kill, steal, and destroy. Don't get them confused with love and compassion and a good prosperous life for you, because that's not the plan of the devil. So he said to her, if they bind me securely with new ropes that had never been used, then I shall become weak and be like any other man. Therefore Delilah took new ropes and bound him with them and said to him, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. And men were lying in wait, staying in the room, but he broke those off his arms like a thread. I don't know about you, but that's the second time Delilah done set him up. What we can get out of this story, Samson ain't real bright. He's been bitten by the love bug or something. Delilah said to Samson in verse 13, until now you have mocked me and told me lies. Now she's getting that aggressive thing, you know, when we have adult conversations, how that happens. You have mocked me and told me lies. Tell me what you may be bound with. And he said to her, if you weave the seven locks of my head into a web of the loom. So watch what's happening. He's easing toward the very source of his power. Started with the hands, if you bind me up, and if you put my arms up tight, and now he's done moved to the area where he's getting very, very close to the source of the anointing on his life. If you just put my hair into seven locks, that's where my power is. Watch. So she, in verse 14, she wove it tightly with the batten of the loom and said to him, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. But he awoke from his sleep and pulled out the batten and the web from the loom. Defeated the Philistines. Third time. I want to say this. This story is fixing to end. The devil will come at you 3 and 4 and 50 and 75 and 100 times. He'll never give up on trying to seduce you. Watch this. The devil is much different than Delilah. The devil already knows where your power comes from. He already knows where the strength of your source of strength comes from. He's not a dummy. He was with God in heaven. He already knows. Don't think you can outsmart the devil. He knows the things that make you wander from God. He knows what you're tempted with. He is not trying to be your friend. He'll tempt you with good things. He'll tempt you with things that seem to be okay. But if you're not careful, you'll be flirting with the devil, and at the very same time, you'll be unfaithful to God. We can see in this story that so far, in the first part, the Spirit of the Lord is upon Samson. Mightily. Not just it was upon him, it was upon him mightily. But when he starts flirting with the devil, if you'll notice, every time she said the Philistines are upon you, it never mentions that the Spirit of the Lord is upon him mightily. He was able to break loose. And we know he couldn't do it in human strength. There had to be a supernatural anointing to break the strings. But it never mentions that it's upon him mightily. Why? Because the more you flirt with the devil, the further you get from God. I'm telling you, God never moves. God is your benchmark. But the more you flirt with the enemy, it takes you further and farther and farther from God. I'm going to hurry and close in a while. verse 15. Then she said to him, how can you say I love you when your heart is not with me? Newsflash, baby, you can't. You have mocked me these three times and have not told me where your great strength lies. And it came to pass when she pestered him daily. Boy, I could preach there for a while. She pestered him with daily with her words. I got to do it. She was a nag. She just nagged old Samson to death. I love y'all. Look, he crazy too. I mean, how many times you got this? Three times. Come on now. She pressed him daily with her words and pressed him. So let's read it. When she pestered him daily with her words and pressed him so that his soul was vexed to death. The scripture comes to my mind that it is better to live on a rooftop, on the corner of a rooftop, than under the roof with a complaining woman. I'm not beating you up, women. It's funny. It kind of goes with the story, but that's what the Bible says. I didn't make it up. Verse 17, that he told her, his soul was vexed to death. I mean, he's fed up with this one. And he says to her that at that point that he told her all of his heart. And he said to her, no razor. Watch this. He flirted with the devil so much. And then after a while, the pestering of the devil nagging in your ear. I'm going to preach that in just a second. That no razor has ever come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. He acknowledged where his source came from. He told her everything. From my mama's womb, God has anointed me. God has blessed me. Reminds me of you in Jeremiah 29 and 17, that I know the plans I have for you, and they're good, and they're to prosper you. In other words, God wants to use you. And he says in the latter part of 17, and if I am shaven, then my strength will leave me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. The man of God told the devil everything he needed to know, she needed to know. To do what? To subvert God's plan for his life. How did that happen? He started flirting with the devil when he went down to get a wife, the first wife from Philistine. It starts so simple. There's nothing wrong with getting married. But are you marrying the right one? There's nothing wrong with desiring to have a wife or a husband and a family. Nothing wrong with that. But if that is not God's plan for your life, leave it alone. Does it mean God doesn't want you to have a wife or a husband? It means right now is not the time. The enemy will pester you. He will whisper in your ear that people at the church don't like you. He will tell people in the community, when they come around, be sure and whisper this in their ear. You know, they're just a clique over there. You know, they really don't like you. You know, if they knew your past, they wouldn't have you at the church. You know you're never going to fit in. You know you can't be good enough. Duh. If you know the God's word, yeah, you got that right. That's the only thing God, he's got right so far. He'll whisper these things, and what does that do? You start listening. It's okay to go do this, and it's okay to go over here and do that. It's okay to talk like this. It's okay to watch that. No, it's not. If it's not edifying to God, it's not okay. Whether it be speech, whether it be what you listen to, whether it be what you watch, whether it be who you hang around with, if it's not edifying to God, get away from it. Because it's just one of those little snares. It's that slippery slope away from God that leads you to flirting with the devil and being unfaithful to God. And we are in a world where it's so easy. Where it's so easy, church. We've got technology. We can virtually be around the world in a few seconds with a couple of clicks on one of these and enjoy something going on around the world. Like you're right there. We're so involved with stuff. We're so involved with everybody else's stuff, we don't even know what our stuff is. I'm going to finish. In verse 18, and when Delilah saw that he had told her all of his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up once more. For he has told me all his heart. So the lords of the Philistines came up to her and brought the money in their hand. They had promised her 1,100 pieces of silver, I believe was the number. You can go back and read the story. It's a lot of money. She said, I'm going to want my money now. See, she never was in it for love. The devil is not in bed with you for love. The devil wants to kill, steal, and destroy. Delilah is a form of the devil. What she wanted? She wanted him dead. She was an undercover agent for the Philistines, and her objective was to make sure you are stopped, that your anointing ceases, that God's spirit upon you is removed because of your acquaintance with sin. That's the only way God's spirit can be separated is when you start playing with sin. If you're not careful, things come into our lives and we make them gods and we make them idols. I've never had an idol in my life, I don't guess, other than my kids, my wife, my jobs, my... Come on, somebody. The list is long. Nobody has immunity from making things idols. And these are good things. But they're not good things when put in front of God. They start you on an unfaithful trip away from God. They start you on the trip of flirting with the devil. Verse 19, then she lulled him to sleep on her knees. Glory to God. Ain't a man in this room. Well, I can't redo that, but... I used to love for my mama to run her hands through my hair. Until I was about 25, I liked for my wife to do that. It's not that fun now. Come on, somebody. Put some lotion on it, but don't rub your fingers through my hair. What did the devil do? Delilah. Watch. She lulled him to sleep. I think the biggest problem that Christians have today is going to sleep in the lap of the enemy and not even recognizing that they got their head in his lap. Asleep right in the lap of the devil, and it feels good. It feels really good to have your ego massaged. It feels really good for you to be put up on a pedestal. It feels really good for you to have a pulpit ministry, but nobody wants to clean the toilets. It feels real good to want to be in the limelight, but nobody wants to do the little stuff. One of the biggest problems I've ever had with any minister that's ever been under me, if you don't want to clean the toilet, you can't stay in the pulpit. Jesus said, I first came to be a servant. And when you're a servant, guess what? Your feet are grounded. You're on the lookout for the enemy coming in. That's another message, but let me move on. Then she lulled him to sleep on her knees and called for the man that had and had him shave off the 7 locks of his head. Then she began to torment him. She began to torment him. When you fall asleep in the arms of the enemy, on the lap of the devil, in the things of the world that he's offering you, it will be a torment. And his strength left him. You could say it this way. And the anointing of God was pulled back. The strength that God said, I'm going to give you supernatural strength. Only be consecrated to me all of your life. He was a Nazarite. I told you what it meant. He is to be in love with God all of the time. But because he chose to do it his way, woman after woman after woman, chance after chance, he slipped on that slippery slope away from God's plan for his life. Again, hear me out. If you've slipped from God, his plan for your life has never changed. It's always the same plan. He had it before you showed up. We mess it up along the way. But the moment you come into your right senses, God says, now let's finish the plan. I'm going to close with this. Honey, if you'll come to the piano. Verse 20, and she said, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. Sound very familiar? Fourth time. Same words. The devil uses the same stuff over and over is what I'm trying to tell you. There's no new tricks with him. It's the same ones. If you read the Bible, it's the same trick over and over and over. So he awoke from his sleep and said, I will go out as before at other times. And he shake himself and shake myself free. But he watched. He did not know that the Lord had departed from him. I believe that the church has fallen asleep in the lap of the enemy, and we don't even know that the anointing of God has removed itself from the church. And we say, why are we not effective? What's been going on? Why is the church so dry? It might be that the pew people have removed themselves from God, and it very well could be that the pastor has removed himself and slept with the enemy. We call upon God to do something, and nothing happens because we don't even know that the Spirit has left us. Because we got so used to doing it this way, and before, oh, the anointing was there, and we could break free, and we could break free, and we could break free. But there comes a point when God says, I am jealous for you. You shall have no other gods before me. Love me with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. And if you can't do that, you're unfaithful to me. And unfaithfulness leads to separation. Here's the Here's what I love about this. I want to encourage you before we go. If you turn to God only when you're in trouble, He will eventually let you have the desires of your heart. It's what Samson did. Only when he had a need did he turn to God. Only when he was in a bind, literally, in a bind, did he turn to God. And three other times God delivered him from that. That shows us God's grace and His mercy, and to the extent that He will go to keep you in His will. But if you only play God like a slot machine, putting something in, hoping to get something back, you will lose. This passage of Scripture is also about the testament of God's mercy and His grace and His desire to have you stay in His will. It's good, I promise. Whatever it is, it's good. He says it. I know those plans I have for you. You fill in the blank with you. And they're good. And they're to prosper you and to bring you to a good end. May not be what you think, but God says it's a good end. And when it's a good end, it's a good end. It also proves this, church, that you have a free will to separate yourself from God if you so choose. Samson chose every time that he picked a wife or a harlot. He chose every time that he told her a story about what his, where his strength came from. He chose to do that. He chose to say, it's in my hair. He chose to say, if you get a razor, cut my hair off, I'll be like any other man. Guess what? That's exactly right. Remove yourself from the presence and the anointing and the calling of God, and you're just like every other heathen sinner going to hell. But God didn't call us that way. God called the church to be a light and to be salt into a dying world. That's what He called us to be. What does it say about salt? If it's lost its flavor or its savor, what is it good for? Nothing but to be put under your feet and walked upon. I want to challenge you this morning as we get ready to leave. I want to challenge you. Look at your life. Are you flirting with the devil? In some things, some areas in your life? Judges 16:28, and this is what I love about God. This is my God. There's hope for you. There's hope for me. Judges 16:28. I put this above the passage of Scripture. Samson calls upon the Lord. Samson calls upon the Lord. And the next line I wrote was this: and when you call on the Lord, He will answer. That's the God we serve. When you call on the Lord, He'll answer. Judges 16:28 says this: then Samson called to the Lord, saying, oh Lord God, remember me. I've had to go to prayer sometimes. God, remember me. It's been a while. God, remember me. I never got you off my mind, son. Of course I remember you. But when I was doing that thing that was so wrong, yes, you were on my mind then. When you was with so-and-so, you were on my mind then. Remember me, oh Lord. I pray, strengthen me. Watch this. Strengthen me, I pray, just once, oh God, that I may with one blow take vengeance on the Philistines for my two eyes. I don't know how the story could have turned out or would have turned out differently had Samson stayed in the will of God. Would it have taken some 50 plus years to deliver Israel from the hand of the Philistines? Would we have to have waited until David? I don't know. It's a great story for you and I. But how would you like to live as a country in bondage for 50 plus years? Because one person started flirting with the devil and messed up your life. Oh, it doesn't take a nation, it takes one person. One person. One person. I want you to know this, that God's desire for you to follow Him is great. It walks right up to the brim of controlling your free will, but it stops. It says you've got to make a choice. You must make the choice to follow me. Because if I make you, it's not love. As you stand with me across this building today, it's 4 minutes after 12. My question, I want you to search your heart. I don't for one second believe that this wasn't the message for today. What is that thing that you may be flirting with the devil with in your life? Oh, don't say there's none. I can tell you there's a list. I've got my own list. As I began to think about this message, my list began to grow, Dexter, and more, and I said, this is what I told the Lord last night when I was laying in bed after I had laid down. I said, God, I don't like this message because it affects me greatly. Come on. There's some things I gotta look at. What are you flirting with? What are you flirting with the devil with in your life that keeps you from stepping into what God wants you to do? Is it pride? Is it your past? Well, I hadn't been saved long enough. How long you got to be saved? What is it that is causing you to flirt with the devil? What is it that's causing you to lay your head in the lap of the devil? You already know what it is. Some of you have already started a pretty good list. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to go ahead and tell you this right up front. I'm not going to ask you to come up this morning. I don't know why. I didn't know how I was going to close this, but I'm not going to ask you to come up this morning. But here's what I am going to do. I want every head bowed and every eye closed in this place. You're the only one in the room. You're the only one in the room. If you need prayer for any area in your life, you already know what it is. I want you to slip up your hand right now. I see that hand, 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 see those hands. I see hands all over this building. Thank you, Jesus. I see that hand, I see that hand. See those in the back. I see those up there. I see hands everywhere, all over this building. I see hands. It's only you and God in this building right now. It's only you and God. It's only you and God. about how to get out of the grip of the enemy. Start telling, Lord, I've been flirting with the enemy over here, and I repent of that. I'm sorry. I want forgiveness of that. And I'm not going to go back there anymore. Start doing that right now. Will you all across this building? And you know, if you pray in the Spirit, amen, pray in the Spirit. Is that you? Put your hands all over this building. Father, in the name of Jesus, you saw the hand that was raised, Lord. To me, that was the heart that was raised. Lord, you have a plan for every one of our lives. But Lord, by our self-acknowledgement, we see those things in our lives that we've been flirting with the devil with. Lord, I pray that you would reveal every one of those things, maybe those things we hadn't thought of yet, to ourselves. Lord, save me from me, from my own selfish desires. Save me, Lord, from wanting to please people in the world. Save me, Lord, from wanting to meet my kids to fit in, God, when it goes against your word. Save me, God, from the way I talk when everybody else is talking and no other Christian is around. Save me, God. Help me to get my head out of the lap of the enemy. I don't want my spiritual hair to be cut, God. Save us before we go too far, God. Lord, we repent in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. As we leave here today, you can open your eyes. As we leave here today, I want you to do something for you. It's not going to affect me a whole lot. I want you to do something for you. You had some of those things in your mind just here. Write some of those things down. Let it be a reminder that every one of us can be on a slippery slope. And when the slope gets slippery, it's hard to stand. Write them down. You can put them in your wallet, put them in your purse. You don't have to share them with anybody. But when you pull out your credit card somewhere, your cash to look at something, that thing's right there and it gives you a reminder. Start with one or two. Tell them the church has got to rise up. We're in a day where the church better rise up. If we don't, we will fall. Church leadership across this country right now is giving way to different types of to sinful pastors being in a pulpit. It ought not be so. The church is okay with every kind of sin being in the church and staying in the church. We ought to be okay with every sinner coming into this house. But we should not be satisfied. We should not be okay with a sinner coming into this house with all of you anointed people and staying this way for 6 months, 8 months, a year, and living in their sin. It ought to change. But a lot of times, hear me out, I'm going to close because I could preach it again. But a lot of times we don't want to confront it because we're on our own slippery slope. In Jesus' name, I love you. A lot. I won't preach this message to anybody else today, Ralph. I guarantee it. Ralph's my buddy. Amen. Let me bless you. Father, I thank you for your word today. Lord, it was sharp. It cut deep. But your word says that it's like a sword. It'll divide the bone and the marrow. It's so sharp and precise. So, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, this word will take hold. I pray that we would find favor with God and with man. That your face would shine upon us. That increase and prosperity and job promotions and raises would come our way. And, Lord, that peace would rest over every rooftop that when we lay down today or tonight, that sweet sleep would come to our spiritual souls and our physical bodies. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says amen and amen. God bless you. Come on Wednesday. Ice cream supper. See Miss Marsha. Amen. Homemade ice cream.